Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Creating Things Together. I'm Christina. This is James. We have our friend Viper on. He is the man about tech and the captain of Team Apple, baby. He just inspires me on so many levels. He is also the live stream king. Like, I mean, he essentially has his own Friday TV show that James and I look forward to whenever we're able to just veg out when we're home.
And if it was the 90s, he no doubt would have been a wrestling announcer.
It's aggressive. Viper, hello.
What's happening? What's up, people? What's up? How are you all doing? Thank you for having me on the podcast. I appreciate it.
I love this so much. We should just like have it. Viper as like the third host all the time.
Presenter energy.
He has so much energy, and
people don't understand what a talent it is to have good stage presence.
Yes. You know? He's just so good. Viper, why are you so good? Can you just tell me why you're so good?
You know, I wasn't always this good. I remember watching my very first YouTube video, and I was so monotone. I had no energy. I look back at that person. I'm like, who in the hell is that? Who is impersonating me? Get them out of there. I would have kicked them off like the Apollo in New York. We would have had to boot them off the stage. Get them out of there.
So a lot of people, I feel like, go to they add a couple more notches of energy to themselves whenever they decide to start making YouTube videos or what have you. I think you added like 30. So I'm curious what led you to go over the top. It seems like you have some inspirations in there.
All right, so I think my main thing about doing videos on YouTube is that I want to create content that I myself would want to watch. Mm-hmm. And a big part of my YouTube experience is that I do not want to be bored when I watch your video, when I watch my video. I don't want to be bored. So I know it's different for everybody, but for me, one of the main things is like there's a lot of people on YouTube that are monotone. They don't really like change their voice inflection, things like that. They're just like, they have the same delivery throughout the video. And depending on what type of video it is, either whether it's a vlog or it's one of my talking head videos, it can get real boring real quick if you don't like change up the flavor during the video. So me, one minute I could be talking to you like this, and the next minute I could be talking to you like this. So, you know, you got to change up the flavor of the video. So me, I try to be as entertaining as possible. And it's funny that you said inspiration, because obviously I grew up watching WWF, WWE. So I think I take a lot of my delivery style from watching WWE promos. So I kind of mix that up with the way I present tech and things like that. And fortunately for me, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Oh, I think you've differentiated yourself with your certain kind of energy alongside with your personality. It's like those things have kind of paired together into
a viper cake.
That really, I mean, if somebody comes to one of your videos for the first time, they might go, whoa, holy crap, what's going on here? But it's going to be something that they won't forget. And it's going to be something that they're probably really going to enjoy. They're going to leave with and go, intriguing.
There's a point where it almost kind of like, because for me, honestly, it was a bit too much, but then it kind of started to grow on me.
You
just have to lean into that.
But it's not, I'm bored and it was unremarkable. Viper does not have an unremarkable video or live stream. But one of the things that I wanted to touch on very quickly was the way that you've built a community around live streaming, because this is a podcast called Creating Things Together. And the reason we have you on here is because of the unique way you create things together with your community. Mm. And so I wanted to talk to you about, first off, how you made that transition from making videos, and you still make videos on your other channel, but you have transitioned into creating a thriving live stream based community with very exciting chat rooms and loyal followers.
Yep.
We join them routinely. And may I just say, Viper, it's always a highlight whenever we see that you're streaming.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. So the big thing about being a YouTube creator is you have to be willing and able to build a community. Before I ever started making videos, I was watching YouTube for over 10 years. So as I watched YouTube over the last 10 years, I was active in my favorite creator community. You know, I would comment on their videos. I would be in their live stream chat, things like that. So as I started making videos 3 years ago, I knew that an integral part of what I wanted to do was do live streams. And the cool thing about live streams that are different from regular videos is that live streams allow us as creators to interact with our community in real time. And I don't know if enough creators like understand how good and how valuable that is to have that direct connection with your audience, with your community. They can give you feedback in real time. I mean, yes, they can comment on your videos and things like that, but that's not real time back and forth feedback. When you are live streaming with your community, that is real time back and forth feedback, and it's kind of unique. I always used to tell people, like, if you watching a replay of one of my live streams is not the same as being there live. If you're not there live, you're kind of missing out on the beauty that is the live stream. Like, it's just a different special feeling when you are there, when it's happening live in real time. And like you guys said, you can interact with the other audience members and the other fans in the live stream chat. Like, as you know, my chat go all over the place sometimes with people talking about different things, that and the other.
Especially when John Prosser's involved.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
We talking about poop.
Oh, Lord.
I take responsibility for that one. Sorry.
Right, but people in the chat, you know, they have their own little conversations and things like that as I'm live streaming, so I can feed off of that or this, that, and the other. But it's a different vibe when you're live streaming, and I feel like, especially in this day and age, if you're going to be a creator and you want to build your audience, you have to find a way to integrate live streaming into what you do. Now, YouTube makes it a little difficult with the way that they kind of like aggregate live streams into the algorithm and things like that. You really can't do regular videos and live streams at the same time on YouTube because it kind of hurts you, which is why I went off and I started a separate channel for live streaming. But you gotta somehow incorporate live streaming into what you do as a creator, because it strengthens your relationship with your audience really, really well.
And I love that.
Yeah. And it's an interesting timing that we're having this conversation with you, because I went live last night on my channel, and I haven't gone live in a very long time. I think I've only done it a couple times, but I've been really intrigued by this. And also I've been extra inspired considering everybody's been going live because of this COVID-19 situation. And I've always had a passion for live
performances. Really.
Yeah. So like, I mean, growing up, I was on stage playing drums. I've always enjoyed that. And I found that there's something that you miss when you are just making videos. It's almost like you're in an editing bunker underground. Mm-hmm. And then when you share a video, it's like you come up from the bunker for 2 seconds. You share the video into the world, you go back underground, and then you read the comments later. Whereas live streaming is this very collaborative, enriching experience. And it's like you said, it's live action. And that just like set me on fire last night. You can ask Christina, I've been obsessed with it over literally the past 24 hours. I wanted to live stream this, but she was like, okay, you're going too fast. You need to chill out.
Right. Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that when you're live streaming, a live stream is unedited. You can't control what happens during a live stream.
Yes. I mean, I love that. It's horrifying, but I love it.
Yeah, it's not like regular video where you can edit and craft the perfect narrative and give the perfect presentation of yourself. You can't do that on a live stream. You hit live and then whatever happens, and you just got to run with it.
Correct. Yeah.
Do you want to know something that's kind of horrifying? So yesterday, James was streaming. The camera was facing him. My screen was completely off. I don't know why. I accidentally logged out of a couple of Google profiles, I guess. And I was logging back in, and for some reason I pressed the eyeball
on the password field.
Yeah. And it wasn't our personal Google Drive information. Thankfully, number one, the camera wasn't on me, and number two, it wasn't even the right password. It was an old password. But that just like set the fear of God.
It could
have
been devastating.
I was like, okay. So live streaming, you have to be very careful. But I wanted...
It overwrites my perfectionism.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I really love about it. It doesn't allow me to be perfectionistic. I just have to flow.
Yeah.
It helps me hit a flow state, and I really enjoy that. But go ahead.
So let's backtrack a little bit. I want to go back 3 years in time. I want to learn more about the background of Viper, the man about tech, get you getting into the YouTube game. And I believe you got into YouTube at a very interesting time in your life, if I'm not mistaken, from all the things that I've learned about on Twitter. So I want to learn about just your background, why you decided to start a YouTube channel, and if you don't mind talking about it, how I guess the YouTube community kind of became a family for you in a really important time in your life.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that. Like you said, I chose to become a creator at a very interesting time in my life. I basically made a decision. So I started making videos in 2018. On January 1st, 2018, I uploaded my first YouTube video. I had made the decision to start making YouTube video because it was suggested to me over the period of year, but I just never took it seriously. I kind of figured if I made YouTube videos, it would be about tech. The tech space is already so saturated. Like, what could I bring to the tech space? But unfortunately, in 2017, I lost my mother. So after she passed away, I pretty much decided that whatever time I have left on this earth, I'm going to live my best life. So I made the decision in 2018 to start a YouTube channel. And oh my God, it is probably the single best decision I have ever made in my almost 40 years of existence. Like, my life has completely changed. I have met people, I've had experiences that you just would not be able to have otherwise if you're not a part of this YouTube family, if you're not a creator or a creative type. I mean, I have had to learn different skills and things like that. I've had to go out of my comfort zone because before I started making videos, I used to hate hearing my voice recorded. I used to hate making videos of myself. I just hated it. I wasn't a fan of it. It just looked wrong to me. It was like unnatural. But after you make video after video after video and you edit video after video after video of yourself, as you guys know, it becomes second nature. You don't even care. Like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So as far as the community goes, like I said, I was watching your videos long before I became a creator. So as I started making videos and some of my favorite creators started noticing me and things like that, and then they would come on my live stream to interact with me, it's been a humbling, awesome experience over the past 3 years making these videos. And I have no plans of slowing down or stopping. So I think right now I'm in year 3. I'm trying to grow my channels and things like that, and I'm just having fun.
I feel like you're on a really solid trajectory for year 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm really inspired I'm really inspired at how much content you put out. I feel like you're putting out a video every single day of the week, except for Saturdays.
One of my favorite things, yeah.
Is that true? Okay.
Nope.
I feel like you're just churning it out.
Well, funny that you should say that, because my goal was to put out 4 videos a week, but I'm kind of failing at that. So right now, I think I'm sending more or less 3 videos a week. So at least 3 times a week, I'm putting out a video.
Oh, Viper, okay. You're slacking. Oh, dude.
I know,
3
right?
Videos
terrible,
a week. Oh.
Terrible.
Honestly, man.
But you stream like twice a week, right?
At least, yes.
That's fantastic.
So you're putting out like 5 videos a week some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Your presence online is consistent.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would be curious to hear some of your tips around consistency and how you've gone about approaching it.
Woo! It's been a lot harder lately because with this pandemic going on, man, it's just not a lot of stuff to talk about in the tech space. But I mean, I think one of the main things about being consistent is making sure that you are making content or talking about things that you love. As you guys know, on YouTube, it is very important if you want to grow a channel to pick a particular subject area of expertise or what you have expertise in. And it needs to be something that you love talking about. If you love talking about it, then that makes it a lot easier to consistently produce content about it because you enjoy talking about it. Obviously, for me, it's technology. I eat, sleep, breathe technology. I've been loving technology my entire life. So it's not a big deal for me to come out here and put out 3 videos a week about technology and things like that because I love talking about technology. I love interacting with technology, and I love talking to other like-minded individuals that enjoy technology as much as I do. So I'm just lucky that I found an area of expertise that I happen to be good in. I mean, I work my full-time job. I work in IT, information technology. So I work in technology for a living anyway. So just coming on YouTube and talking about Apple, because that's my chosen niche or whatever. I love Apple products and I love talking about Apple and things like that. So it just happens. It's like a perfect marriage, man. I enjoy talking about tech. I enjoy talking about Apple. So it just worked out well for me.
Yeah, that's real good. And I was listening to Tony Robbins the other day, and he was saying that there are two different motivational forces. There's push and then there's pull. And push is when you're in a day job that you don't like and you need to make money, so you just keep pushing. Pull is when you have something that you're obsessed about that keeps you up at night, and it pulls you into pursuing things that are into creating or into doing something meaningful in the world, even if it's not a traditionally creative route. But for us, most of the time, it tends to be creative. And I think that those are two fundamentally different forces that need to be recognized. I found that when I need to push, things get really hard. But when I have something pulling me, I don't even think about the friction that's involved in doing the thing. Like, for example, I love playing drums. Building a drum set is like an IKEA desk and a half. Mm-hmm. But whenever I build a drum set, I don't feel like I'm building a desk. I feel like I'm building a drum set, mm-hmm. and it's wonderful.
Right.
And I never feel a lack of motivation to do that. And so I think for you, Viper, you found that in commentating about tech.
Yeah, I mean, it's not always easy, though. Sometimes it's funny because when you get in a groove and you do it over and over and over again, it's a lot easier to stay in the groove. But there are days, because you guys only upload 3 days a week, or 3 times a week, I should say. So sometimes when I'm on my little break between, like, the weekend and things like that, sometimes it's uberly difficult to come back and start that cycle again. But usually I find a way to do it. Yeah, that the momentum, once the momentum stops, it's hard to regain it. But like I said, luckily I have an area that I'm passionate about and that I love, so I can usually find the momentum to start again.
And if not, if you don't feel momentum, all you have to do is just go into your intro voice. And I feel like it probably overflows from your heart.
You know, but also, man, I have another rule for myself. I will not force myself to make a video if I'm not feeling it. I will not do it because, to me, I just feel like at that point I'm putting out subpar content and I don't want to do that. So if I'm trying to force myself to make a video, but it's just not there for me, I'm just not going to do it.
That's very interesting.
You recently niched down on YouTube. I'm sure that was a strategic decision, and it was probably a very smart decision. I know that it takes like at least 10 videos to kind of get YouTube on that flow. But why did you make that decision? And was it a hard decision to make to niche down?
All right. So I am currently on year 3 of my YouTube journey. For the first 2 years, I was making content about anything and everything in the world of tech. I made videos about Apple, Samsung, Google, LG. I made videos about Huawei. So I made videos about everything, every subject area, every subject matter, I made videos about it. What I quickly learned, well, I guess it wasn't quicker, it took me 2 years, but what I learned over those 2 years is that while I can do that and be happy with that, that is not the best way to grow a channel on YouTube. And it kind of makes sense because when people hit that subscribe button on YouTube, they hit that subscribe button with a level of expectation that they expect certain content from you, the creator. So if you are all over the place like I was, when somebody hit that subscribe button, they never know or they never knew what they were getting from me. And a lot of times I would gain subscribers, yes, but then I would lose those subscribers because I was not giving them the content that they thought they were signing up for. So in year 3, I decided to streamline my content strategy and niche down, as you said. And now I only do Apple-related videos. So when somebody subscribes to Viper now, they know that he's going to talk about Apple each and every time. Now, as I told people when I made my update video, I can't always talk about Apple because at some point I was just getting sick and tired of that. So every now and then I'm going to deviate just to keep my sanity in check. But 99% of the videos that I do on my channel now are Apple videos or about Apple, iPhone, iPad, whatever. It's going to be Apple. And I think that better goes in line with what people expect. And that's how humans are trained to behave. We are creatures of habit. We want to expect what we expect. I mean, if you think about it like this, that's how some of these big companies and brands got where they are today. Dunkin' Donuts. You don't walk into Dunkin' Donuts for coffee, even though they offer coffee. 9 times out of 10, you're walking into Dunkin' Donuts for a donut. Because when you walk into Starbucks. Right. when you walk into Starbucks, you're not walking into Starbucks for a pastry, even though they serve those. When you walk into Starbucks, you're walking into Starbucks because you want a coffee. Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks got to be as big as they are because they became known for coffee. They became known for donuts. So we as creators, we kind of have to operate in the same way. We have to become known for something, and that is how you build a channel on YouTube. Because as I looked around me and I was looking at other creators that started at or a little bit before me, blowing by me in subscriber count, I'm like, everything, the thing that they have in common with each other is that they all kind of niche down into a specialized area, subject area, whatever. So that is why I'm doing that. And we'll see how it goes. I told myself I would give myself a year to see how it goes, and we'll go from there.
I commend you for having that self-awareness and being able to make a decision and stick with it.
It's scary too, because you think you might end up getting bored or what have you. It's scary to do that, and then you're scared that once you do it, you can't just pull back out like 2 days later. Because you'll give your audience whiplash.
And especially the fact that you made the announcement that you were going to do it.
What was wrong with that?
Your mic was angled wrong. You have to speak into the barrel, not up at the barrel. You gotta, come on, James, get it together.
I'll go back to this, the sure mic angling Skillshare class.
Okay.
I was watching.
But yes, Viper, I so much respect for you doing that. I'm constantly trying to figure out what that is for us. Still don't know what it is. I probably will never know what it is. But
that's the spirit.
It's painful. But let's start talking about Twitter and networking and connecting with just the entire internet. You and I have a love and obsession for Twitter. I think you would agree, at least for me. I won't speak for you. For me, all of my money has come from Twitter in one way or another. All of my connections, all of my relationships that have turned into either really good friendships or really good money or both have come from Twitter. So let's chat a bit about your Twitter strategy. Were you ever in the camp of like, I'm not going to get on Twitter because that's just when people tweet about making their mac and cheese or something?
Oh, no. I'm with you, Christina. You know how we do. I love Twitter. Twitter is like, I feel like it's a secret weapon that most people don't know about. I don't think creators understand just how much value there is to be had and gained by being present on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I have an interesting Twitter strategy as far as like working with brands and things like that. I try to find out a brand PR representative and who they are and things like that. And I want to follow them on Twitter, but I don't want to follow them to like bug them about working with me and things like that. I want to follow them for a while before I ever ask about any of that, just to build that relationship with them and interact with their tweets and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'll follow a PR person or somebody from a brand for a month before I ever like try to work with them and things like that, just to build that relationship. And Twitter allows me to do that. It's so cool that you could just follow somebody. You don't even have to interact. You could just follow somebody. So you can know that how they think, you know what makes them tick, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then you can use that information if you want to turn it into a pitch or things like that. And Twitter is amazing for that. Or if I just want to put out like a tweet, I think one time I got a phone that I didn't expect to get. And I just put out a tweet to all the cake companies. I'm like, hey, such and such and such. I just got the phone. Anybody want to work me with some cases? And I actually got a reply from that, crazy or not. So Twitter is a networking monster. Like, if you're an up-and-coming creator and you want to work with brands, you need to be on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I know some people will tell you that, oh, you shouldn't tweet, things like that. That's not professional, blah, blah, blah. No, damn that. Get on Twitter. Twitter is the secret sauce, baby. Christina will tell you. Tell them, Christina, Twitter is it.
So I'll share a little bit of my experience with Twitter. I feel like I'm kind of sneaky, even though it's not sneaky. I do essentially exactly what Viper says. I have somebody in mind that I want to work with, and I, not stalk, but I do my research. And at this point, I've scaled back from doing that, but I'm starting to get different. So I'm shifting the kind of creative work that I'm doing. I'm shifting from landside photography and videography to oceanside. So I'm in the water.
Getting them pixels wet.
Yeah, wet pixels. but it's it's essentially kind of starting from ground zero, and I use the same techniques. So for example, if there is a wetsuit company that I'm really interested in, find whoever's running their Twitter account and just follow them and engage with them.
Or their marketing person. Or
their marketing person, yeah. And it's, I like to call it...
Which I guess would tend to run the Twitter account. But I guess my point was that you could target any one of the employees in the company.
Right. I call it the internet dance.
Yes.
And the way the internet dance goes...
The cocktail party, as Gary Vee puts it.
Yeah, but do I look like Gary?
A little bit.
Okay.
Not at all.
Viper says no. No. This is how I approach it. It's a dance.
You have a face.
Yeah. You have to almost court them, almost like... you're dating the person. You have to just go in real easy, and you just gotta be like, hey, you're really cool. Cute picture of your dog. Oh, you like cats? Let me share some
Let's make out.
No. James. Okay. I'm a married woman.
Okay. That's why I keep getting blocked.
Yeah, that doesn't happen to me. Maybe you're approaching Twitter wrong.
I send a lot of nipple pics.
James. Oh my God. You just, like, nobody can be serious here. So I'll do the dance with the people, and then at some point I see, okay, using the Oceanside photography, videography example, I don't have any repertoire right now, so I can't really pitch anybody, like, hey, pay me stuff, but I can pitch, hey, I'm a really good videographer, photographer, video editor, whatever. And we're starting to take our skills in the water. I'd love to work with you guys. Send us some wetsuits or something like that. So Twitter is a very slow game. And I think a lot of people don't have the patience for Twitter. And honestly, that's just better for people like me, James, Viper, people who are knowing how to use the system. I think it's so cool that, Viper, you've used Twitter almost... to like build your credibility in a way. Like, you're connecting with really like mega YouTube creators, and you're interacting with them in a way that is just so organic. It's not, hi, I'm a fangirl. It's more, hi, I'm just a person. You're a person. I have a stream every Friday night. Do you want to come on that stream? Mm-hmm. Oh, reach out to you in 3 months. Calendar notification, and yep. You don't bug them. You're respectful. You know your boundaries, and it's just that slow dance, and it's patience. You can't be too fast with Twitter.
Yeah, and I also have learned that it's more about the replies than it is the tweets.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You have to. There's sometimes, and I know when people do this, and I respect it when people do it. What they'll do, it's, what is it, the mentions on Twitter. So let's say that you're following somebody like Viper, and you want to engage with people who Viper is already engaging with.
Ah, yes.
That's something that I used to do. So yes, the marketing person is just too big. The marketing person of the brand is way too big to work with. So you go and you see the tweets and replies, and you go, okay, Viper communicates a good bit with this person, Christina Red. She seems smaller than Viper. I bet you I can connect with Christina, and Christina can give me clout to connect with Viper, and like the pieces all slide together.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to be said, once again, for consistency. Like one of our favorite he shows up to chat.
Genosis.
Is Genosis, and he's in every single Viper live stream chat room.
Just a good Canadian.
He's all over Twitter. Yeah, he's just a good Canadian. And we've had a couple of people like that over time in our community. And there's nothing like them.
Right.
They're such a special force.
Yeah.
And I think if you can do that and then also create content, you're going to be like a SpaceX rocket.
Right. So Viper, that entire monologue to say, let's talk about your live stream community in a little bit more depth than we did in the beginning. You have interviewed people like Marques Brownlee, like what, 3 times or something like that?
Yep, 3 times.
Super nice dude. You've had guests like Sarah Dici come on. What, like, how do you choose the people? And this might just be as simple as you're just really interested in them. How do you scout the guests that you invite on either your podcast or on your live stream.
Ooh. Oh man. What a question. Ooh, how do I scout potential guests? Oh my goodness. Well, as I think I've said a couple of times on this podcast, I have been watching YouTube for over 10 years. So I've been watching a lot of these creators for a very long time. So now that I have a platform to get them on, basically I'm trying to interact with people that I've been watching for a long time. Marquez, I've been watching for what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years maybe. Theradici, I've been watching for like the past 3 or 4 years maybe. So these are people that I've already like kind of been in their communities. I've kind of interacted with in the past. So now it's just a matter of me trying to communicate with them to get them on my live stream. I think everybody that I've had on my live stream are people that I've watched at one time or another, or somehow the way they have interacted with me during my time as a creator. Like Mac Weinbach, noted leaker of Samsung and things like that. I had him on my live stream a couple of times, and not because I knew him before I became a creator. It's just that as I've been in the tech space and as I've been a creator, he is a person that I have run across that is very good at what he does. When he leaks information, he is more right than wrong. And he kind of likes what I do. And I have respect for what he does. So we just kind of got together. And he come on a live stream a couple of times to talk to me. So it's basically people that I've been watching for a while or people that I've interacted with since I've become a creator. And that's pretty much how I go about trying to figure out who I want to talk to on my live stream.
Okay. I love that. And then on another level, so that's inviting kind of this special guest, and everybody's special, don't get me wrong, but so you have your special guests, and then you also have kind of the squad where we'll just, and I say we as if I'm including myself on the squad, how dare I, but the squad's live streams will go up to 8 hours on some nights, and yeah. Like you'll fall asleep every now and then. We don't let you forget that. So the squad that you've created, I think, is really interesting. And this is not too much of a question. This is more commentary. When James and I first started creating videos on YouTube, we just kind of started with vlogging. And all of our friends lived on the internet. And they still all live on the internet. You kind of have the same setup. All of your friends live on the internet. You've got people like El Jefe, Jason from Painfully Honest Tech, John you've got Roberto Blake coming on every now and then. I'll pop in and cause some drama. Your lineups are so dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that wasn't really a question. If you have something to say about it, I just wanted to say pat yourself on the back for that.
First of all, Christina, you are part of the squad, so never count yourself out, definitely. And secondly, yeah, I mean, all those people that you named are people that I have been either watched or at my time of being a creator, I have been able to interact with. They've interacted with me, and yeah, we've kind of grown into a little community. For the record, usually the only time my live stream go 8 hours or so is when Roberto Blake shows up, because, you know... That man, Roberto, he talks, and he talks a lot.
I like to see a pie chart of his contribution versus everyone else's contribution.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We love you, Roberto. But it's always, he always brings so much value. And like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, he talks a lot. But when he speaks, it's always fun picking his brain about creative insecurities or something like that. And he might not always have the right answer, but sometimes his wrong answers spark the right answers in your mind. So,
and I'm impressed with his ability to monologue. it's really hard to monologue for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's really and that's impressive. Something that I
don't get him started talking about politics.
Yeah, and that's something that is a skill in itself.
Yeah,
you know, and the ability to do that and keep somebody's attention while you do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have the main question, the pinnacle question. But James, I wanted to give you an opportunity because I feel
music.
Like I've been just occupying this entire episode because I just love Viper and I love chatting with him, and I'm sure you do too. So I want to give you an opportunity to talk to Viper. I'll be quiet for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
And if I'm bored, I'll come back in and go, okay, that was not a good question. Mm-hmm. not to the standard. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah, be sure to interrupt me mid-sentence. So the only thing that I was
going to do it. I just did it. There we go.
I was extremely interested in was you were saying earlier that, you know, you have your main video making channel where your videos tend to be between, you know, 5 and 8 minutes long.
Right.
And then you have your live streaming channel. At the beginning of starting your live streaming channel, was there a fear that you would be starting with somewhat of a blank slate? Because I have that fear currently, and I'm curious how you dealt with that and how you built to where you are now from there. Oh, got a cough. It's okay.
You know what? Number one, God bless you for muting yourself.
He's got a dedicated mute button.
That's also, God bless you for sneezing.
I feel like I have a big red arcade button that you push when you need to mute yourself for the cough. It's just very fluid.
All right. So to answer your question, a very interesting question. The cool thing is that before I ever started my second dedicated live stream channel, I did my live streams on my main channel for the longest time. So I already had built up that audience or the people that would be interested in watching me live stream because I used to do it on my main channel all the time. At some point, I realized, I think when John Proctor, I realized that live streaming on your main channel hurt growth. So when I figured that out and I finally came to accept it, because it took me a while to accept it because I just didn't want to believe it at the time. But when I came to the realization that this was a bad thing to do, I had to make a move. So the move that I made was to make that second dedicated channel. So that's what your boy Viper did. So when I made the second dedicated channel, I told people on the main channel, like, listen, I'm going to make a second dedicated channel for live streaming. If you want to watch my live stream, hop over there, hit that subscribe button so you won't miss any of the live streams. So I already had a built-in audience. I think I got almost like 100 subscribers at the time when I made that second dedicated channel They were interested in the live streams and things like that. And so from those initial 100 people, it just kind of grew as I got more and more people to live stream with me and more guests, and their audience kind of tuned in sometimes and things like that. It just grown from there.
How many times did you pitch that to your audience initially?
I don't really remember. I mean, like I said, it's something that I had thought about for probably a couple of months before I actually made the actual second channel. So the thought was in their mind that, okay, this is the possibility that I'm going to make a dedicated live streaming channel. So if you want to watch the live stream, you got to go over there because I'm not live streaming on this particular channel no more.
Mm-hmm. And so you would say that was a good idea?
Yes, because my live streams, as you guys know, sometimes can go very, very long. And because they can go so long, they kind of mess up the way the algorithm views my main channel. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm making 5 to 8 minute videos normally, and then I bust out an 8 hour live stream, which people are mostly watching maybe a half an hour or so of total, then the algorithm can be like, you suck, dude. No. So in order to combat the algorithm's negative view of me, I had to go ahead and make that second dedicated channel so the algorithm can view that however it wanted while still trying to grow the main channel for dedicated videos on demand only. So that's what I did.
So what would you say to somebody who is in this predicament right now where they have a main channel?
No, don't say they've somebody.
They've had some traction
say
on
you.
The main channel. This is about me. This is about
this
viewers,
is totally
Christina.
About you. No, and let it be about you.
No, a good interviewer pulls from his own personal experience and doesn't make it about himself.
Okay, this is about James, and if you are in the same position too, then it can be about you. But this is a good
I was actually thinking about everybody else, but halfway through the question I went, "Oh, wait, this is me too."
This is a good counseling session, so Viper, tell James
channel. What would you say to somebody who has a main channel and has some traction, they want to do more live streams to engage with their audience? What would you say to them? How should they go about that? Should they be patient? Should they be impatient? What should they do?
Schedules, that stuff.
Okay, so here's the thing about that. You can do it. You just got to be very careful in the way that you do it. And what I mean by that is when you do your live stream, number one, the subject of the live stream should be similar or the same as what you normally do videos about. So as long as the subject matter is the same or similar, that's fine. The other thing that you need to be careful about is the length of your live stream. If your normal videos are anywhere between, like me, 5 to 8 minutes, you don't want to make your live streams like two, three, 4 hours. I would say half an hour, hour max, an hour kind of pushing it. So if you are going to live stream, I would say live stream for no longer than 30 minutes.
So if you're going to live stream on your main channel, live stream for no longer than 30 minutes.
No longer than 30 minutes.
Gotcha.
Keep it short because that way then you won't throw off the algorithm too much and things like that.
Right. So, okay. So it's more so the length of the video, the two videos in comparison, one being the live stream and one being one of your regular videos. It's more so the length than it is the type of video. In other words, the fact that it's a live stream doesn't necessarily hurt your channel.
No, actually it's the watch time.
The watch time.
You gotta remember that watch time for live streams are kind of weird because people are coming in and out. So if you do a 30-minute live stream, the average person is probably going to only watch maybe, 5 to 8 minutes of it, maybe 10 if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. So when you got people coming in and out of the live stream, that ends up hurting your overall watch time, which has a negative effect on how the algorithm views your channel because YouTube cares all about watch time.
Right,
And also, not watch time, not watch time. What I'm looking for is average view duration, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's the average view duration of what I'm talking about. So if you have a 30-minute live stream and the average person maybe watches like 5 or 8 minutes of your live stream, then your average view duration, it takes a hit. So the algorithm sees that and it kind of grades your overall channel negatively because the average view duration of that live stream is pretty low compared to the length of the entire live stream. So that's why I said if you're going to do that, keep the subject matter similar to what you normally talk about on that channel and keep your live stream relatively short.
Okay, so what if somebody wants to pursue the patented Viper method and create another channel separate for live stream? How would you, what tips would you give for creating some traction there?
Ooh, I have tips for you, but I'm not going to say them right now because Viper's here.
I can't wait to hear. But Viper and then you, okay?
So that's interesting. I would say, so I guess my first question is, have you ever live streamed on your channel before? Or is this something that's just out of the blue?
I've live streamed a few times on my channel, and I used to post long-form content on my channel consistently. Like, I used to post 30-minute videos, uncut videos many times, consistently. So, and this is something that I've spent a lot of time working on.
But it's kind of out of the blue at this point.
You know, podcast.
Over the past 6 months, this new thing would be out of the blue.
But yeah, if you're speaking in terms of how the audience perceives me, I would say that, yeah, I have posted long form content. I have quite a few people from that era, but a lot of new people have come since then.
All right. So I would say you might want to run a couple of test live streams just to gauge the interest and see if people will be interested in following you over to a dedicated live streaming channel. I would just see if I were you, I would just, like I said, do a couple of test live streams. See what the interest is. See if people want to see if you get a lot of turnout for the old for those live streams, and then just see what happens and go from there.
Okay,
that's good advice.
All right, I got a lot of thinking to do.
Yeah.
Now your tips, Christina. I'd love to hear them.
So this is a bit of insider trading, just because I'm looking at James's analytics right now. James's channel is doing incredibly well, for a channel his size and just in comparison to anything James and I know. He's kind of cracked some level of a code, and I'm very proud of him for kind of doing the John Prosser method. It works for James's channel, but I'm nervous, number one, for him to do anything different. I'm just saying, like, dude, do things different when the momentum dies.
To tweak anything,
so that's number one. But number two, I think if you wanted to do a live stream channel, it just makes sense to organically introduce it as part of the video and just say, hey, guys,
mention it in
the videos, you know, within the first 10 minutes or so. He gets pretty good watch time, and then, you know, say, you know, on this date, every whatever date or whatever day, he does a live stream. That would just be my advice.
Think the awareness is going to be the thing that I'm going to have to figure out.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget you have the community tab too. So if you do make a second channel, you can always link to that through the community tab.
Well, so yeah, what I ended up doing with this live stream that I did yesterday, which it was so much fun, was I unlisted it after the fact because of this watch time issue. I unlisted it and then just shared it to my community tab if anybody wanted to watch it back. Right. And I think I'll do a similar thing whenever if I decide to separate
the channel.
One channel be focused on.
I would love to see that. I think that would be really fun.
What? Me doing
like a live stream channel.
Separate. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. I just want all the, you know, one of the nice things about my channel right now is that when I do a live stream, it pushes it out to all my people pretty quickly. And that's how I got all the people that came last night it was not from Twitter. It was from the people who are actually very faithful to watch a video whenever I put it out very quickly.
Right.
And that was what happened there.
Right. You got to get people excited. So that was a good,
I like to get chat. People depressed.
You're so stupid. I'm so tired of you. Okay. Viper. Last thing I want to talk about is investing in yourself. So to give you personally some context and listeners some context behind this thought process of mine, we've all been self-distancing and locked in an apartment. And that is typical for James and I when we're home, but just the mental game of knowing that I can't go outside and blah, blah, blah. It's caused me to be in a bit of a funk. And I know that a lot of creators that are not necessarily in the tech space, because tech creators just lock themselves in a room and make videos all the time. But I've been in a bit of a funk, and I was thinking and learning about
Funky Town.
I've been thinking and learning a lot about investing in companies and building wealth and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking about it. Would I invest? Well, obviously I invest in myself. You invest in yourself every day. But to what level are you investing in yourself? If you were an investor, would you give yourself 20 grand to pursue your dreams? And I wanted to talk. Yeah.
It was an interesting idea.
Yeah. So Viper, I wanted to talk with you because from an outside perspective, I feel like you do an amazing job investing in yourself and pouring time into the things that you're interested in. And I just wanted to hear some of your thoughts on number one, if you were an investor with 25 grand, would you invest in Viper? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Drop this some knowledge.
This is interesting. I mean, I guess it really depends on the individual and what their goals are. I'm a creator. I make tech videos. I want to make the best video possible. So for me, I want to, even though I might not necessarily need it, I want to have the best equipment possible. So right now, for those of y'all listening on audio only here, me, Christina, and James are all talking to you on the Shure SM7B. This is a $400 microphone that we all are talking on right now.
The butteriest of all the mics. $400.
Yes. I did not always have this mic. I just got this mic, I think, back in August. The reason why I brought this $400 microphone was because I was tired of people coming on my podcast sounding better than me. So in order to stop those shenanigans, I went out brought this $400 microphone to make sure that my audio was at the top of the food chain so people can no longer come on my podcast and sound better than me. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you want to call that an investment in Viper, that was definitely an investment in Viper. The camera that I'm using to live stream this podcast right now, I am using the Sony A7 III. I brought this, I think, last March.
Us too. We're matching on every level. Are you using a Cam Link?
I am, yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I am using a Cam. See, that's another thing. So I am streaming this podcast on a Sony A7 III via a Cam Link because, again, I don't like people looking better than me in live stream, even though a lot of people have the top end lenses and things, and I'm just using the kit lens, but even my kit lens looks good, so I'm not too worried about that. But again, because I want to look my best and I want to sound my best, I want the top tier equipment that I can afford to make my presentation the best it could possibly be. Now, when you're a creator and you're just starting out, you don't need all the top-end equipment. You basically just need what you have, and you got to have heart and grit and determination, and you got to be willing to embrace the grind. And at some point, if you keep doing that over and over again, you'll get to a point where you can invest in better gear.
Mm-hmm. But I film my videos with a GoPro and an iPhone.
There you go, see? But for me, being a tech snob and being able to afford some of the gear because of the stuff that I've had, the little stuff that I've had on the YouTube and things like that, and the fact that I do work a full-time day job, I'm able to go out and get gear like this. So I went out and got the gear. I invested myself. I am hoping that at the end of the week, I can go out and get a 16-inch MacBook Pro. Again, that's more invested in me because what am I going to use it for? Video editing, streaming, things I'm doing right now. Right now, I'm doing it on a 2017 base model MacBook Pro. To put it politely in PC, this computer I'm using right now is a basic poodle. Yes, it is a MacBook Pro, but it is a basic poodle MacBook Pro. I'm over it. I want a better one. So hopefully by the end of the week, I'll be able to go out and get a better MacBook Pro. I'm looking at the 16-inch MacBook Pro. So that's, hopefully I'll be able to do that by the end of the week. But yeah, as far as investing in yourself, you got to invest in yourself. You got to, especially being a creator, you want to make sure that you are giving your audience the best possible experience. And for me being who I am and what I do, I need the best mic. I need the best camera. I need to go out and buy different technology so I can review it, talk about it, and be knowledgeable in it and about it so I can give my viewers that knowledge of when they go to make their purchase decisions, I can speak from a point of experience, have a use the stuff that they want to buy. So that's just the way it is.
Oh, I love that. On days where, let's say, because you do give yourself a break, you don't force a video.
Right.
How do you, like, I guess what I'm asking is, how do you overcome a creative block to where if you were an investor, you wouldn't invest in yourself because you're going, okay, this guy's not executing and I don't think my 25 grand would be best used. And how do you go from that to making sure that you're always performing or more times than not performing at your best so you don't feel guilty for buying a 16-inch MacBook Pro?
That is a good question.
Again, I guess a creative life crisis. So how do you navigate a creative life crisis?
I guess it's different for every creator because, like I said, I'm a tech creator. So sometimes I do have a creator block. I don't really know what to talk about or what to do a video on, things like that. So, I mean, at that point, I'm on the internet. I'm coming through all the tech news. I'm looking at other videos that other creators have done, seeing what type. I use applications like TubeBuddy and vidIQ to kind of gauge what my competitors, not really competitors, but what my fellow creators are doing so I can get an idea of what's interesting. I also sometimes go out to Google Trends and see what's trending so I can know what's going on. And basically just keeping up with current events and current trends in technology. Like I said, because I am a tech creator and I love talking about tech, I can always make a video based off of what's happening currently in the tech space. When Apple announced the Magic Keyboard for the new iPad Pros the other day, I went out and I put out a video giving them my thoughts about the Magic Keyboard. So as long as I'm into tech, I mean, the cool thing about technology is that there's usually always something to talk about. Now, it's a little bit tougher when you niche down because me, I'm trying to keep it Apple-centric, so sometimes there's no Apple news, but I can come up with something that maybe that's on my mind, or if I'm having a problem with one of my Apple products and things like that, I can make a video talking about the problem. So it's basically just keeping my head in the game, always trying to stay abreast of what's happening in tech, or just talking about my own experiences with the tech that I already have. So there is always something to talk about in the tech space, regardless of it's current events or it's just my own personal experiences. I can usually figure it out and go from there.
So it sounds like what you're saying... It's everything that you just said. It sounds like what you're saying is you.
What if people said that all the time? It sounds like what you're saying is what you just said.
And then just leave it silent. It's like, yeah. But yeah, it sounds like what you're saying is you do research. If you do have some level of a creative block, you do research on the trends. You do research on the market in it of itself. And you'll also... almost take a step back and allow yourself to refuel creatively.
Yes, precisely.
Gotcha.
Inspiration. Create more of a pull. What sort of pressures do you wrestle with on a daily basis in terms of creating content?
Dude, he's the man about tech.
He's kind of a force of nature.
You know, I mean, I don't, sometimes, you know, like, there are people that, like, they have more equipment than I do to like shoot the type of videos that I would shoot if I had the type of equipment. So sometimes I can't make those type of videos because I don't have that type of equipment. Like I don't have an overhead rig to do all that fancy smancy unboxing crap.
So do you want to do that stuff? Do you have those goals?
You know, sometimes, I mean, if I want to do an unboxing video, I can do an unboxing video with the camera I have. I mean, that's not a problem, but it won't look as fancy as an MKBHD or somebody like that, but I can get it done. Mm-hmm. But
dude, the Viper vlogs, whenever you're going like downtown Chicago, those are fun.
Yeah. The thing about that is I don't really get a chance to do that too much because I don't really have the moolah to be buying equipment like that or be doing those type of things. But
Right.
Yeah, and that's probably the other roadblock is that every time there's like new Apple stuff that comes out, you got a creator that can pretty much get it. They get it from Apple or they can buy it. They have the money to buy it themselves. Mm-hmm. No, not so much. I don't have that cachet. So the new iPad Pro were just released this week. I can't do an unboxing video or a first impression video because I just don't have money. I do, but I don't have money to get one right now. Mm-hmm. I have other things I'm thinking about. Like mm-hmm. I told you guys earlier, I'm thinking about trying to get a 16-inch MacBook Pro. So that's my first priority. Like I said, hopefully I'll be able to do that by the end of the week. But yeah, I can't always keep up with the Joneses, and I don't really want to try to because I ain't got the bank account, and I'm not trying to go broke trying to keep up with the Joneses. So mm-hmm. I have to figure out other creative ways to stay relevant, knowing that I can't buy the equipment that everybody else buys every time new equipment drops. So there's that challenge. But I mean, if you want it bad enough, if you're passionate about what you do, you can find a way around that and keep doing what you do.
I love that. No
excuses.
Just
do your thing, Viper.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing point to leave off of.
I think so.
And also, keeping up with the Joneses, we've tried it. It's exhausting. And also, like, you're not going to get the pre-release, so your video's not going to be the first one. So don't even.
Right.
So I love that you have kind of that self-awareness and just you're okay with it. You're not trying to do it because, number one, your bank account's not agreeing with it. Mm-mm. But yeah, James, do you have any final notes?
No, I just thank you so much for your time, Viper. I really appreciate it.
You know, before we go, I got a question. Your boy Viper has a question.
Oh, here heavens.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I mentioned earlier in the podcast about how we are all using the Shure SM7B $400 studio quality microphone. I'm just curious, how did you guys end up getting your Shure? What led you to that purchase?
Question. Well,
didn't I pressure you to get these?
James pressured me, but financially, we did a commercial with an RV company and they paid us a lot of money and we're like, let's start a podcast.
Yeah. The desire to get them was because we wanted to, it was for a very specific purpose. One of the interesting things about this podcast is that it's one of the more well-packaged things we've ever done. And that extends to getting these mics because we got these mics specifically for this podcast. And of course, to use them for other reasons, but that was the catalyst for getting them. And it was, you know, it was a penny. So we had to...
Specifically like 800 pennies. And then you had the H6.
Let's see.
No, that's not true. Right. That's okay, not right just math. Don't worry about what I just said.
Let's not.
Wow. I find it crazy ironic that we got these mics for the same exact reason. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I got
you
it.
You have standards.
I got it not because like another creator that we... Viper just punched his fist. I got it not because another creator in my network, sort of recommended it. It's more so I saw that everybody else was using it and it just sounded so crispy. And I wanted something it just works solution.
Right.
And
for me,
this is the industry standard.
Yeah. For me, I wanted to, and this is not true for everything. Like if you are.
I just said it just works solution. I feel really bad about that.
Yeah.
I hate it when people do that.
Let's all judge James.
And it just works solution.
So this is kind of how I approached it. And if you're not in the position to approach it this way, don't approach it this way. But we were able to afford it, number one, and I wanted to start off right. I wanted to start off and hit the ground running. That's not always the case, and it doesn't always have to be the case. But if you're in a position and you're educated on it, like don't just get this mic because you think, oh, well, James and Christina uses it or Viper uses it. It's the industry standard. Like, get this mic and know that you're going to have to buy a mic stand for it. It's going to be very hard to travel with.
Oh my gosh.
You're going to have to buy a $400 minimum Well, not minimum. I guess you can buy the baby brother that, but you're going to have to buy a recorder to record externally.
A Zoom recorder with XLR inputs. Then you're going to need the XLR cables as well. Then you're going to need a USB cord to run your Zoom mic or your Zoom recorder to your computer.
So always do your research before you buy it. And if you, like, for example, James and I, we have stage experience. We used to be so cool and in a band, like, actually. So we know how all of these cables work. If you just want to get started and record a podcast, there's other mics out there.
Yeah.
But this one's,
you know what? That is pretty cool that you said do your research, because when I was doing research into the mic, I knew off the top that the mic was $400. What I also learned in the course of my research was that just buying the mic by itself was not going to work. I knew that I would have to buy a cloud lifter. I knew I would have to buy an interface. So I knew I would have to get XLR cables to run to the mic. So yeah, it's a lot more than just the mic. It's the interface, it's the cloud lifter, it's the cable. So yeah, you're right. Make sure you do your research before you go out and make the decision.
You mentioned the cloud lifter. We actually never bought the cloud lifter because we didn't get paid that much for the commercial. but Viper, what do you have your audio on your Zoom? Like, what's a little knob on? Do you know that off the top of your head? If you don't, it's not a big deal. You can just tell us later.
What do you mean Zoom? I don't
like,
have
what's
Zoom.
Your, what's like, your gain on your Zoom? What are you using as your audio interface? That's a better question.
Garland Focusrite 2i2, I think, something like that.
Ah, okay.
So you have 0 and then you have 10 probably. What's that number at?
It's in the middle, whatever the hell it is. So
5? Maybe like 5.
It's like in the middle of something, yeah.
Okay. Well, Viper just reminded me that we should probably get a cloud lifter. Because this mic, actually, I learned from Sarah this week that this mic wasn't intended as a podcasting recording mic. She didn't tell me what it was intended as, but
a lot of people record songs with it as well.
But this mic,
Michael Jackson,
specifically, yeah.
But this mic doesn't.
Sure, S. Michael 7B.
There you go. This mic doesn't actually have the the proper output. It doesn't have the power. So you need a cloud lifter to do lifting. So that just reminded me we probably need to do that very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I think they sound quite good without the cloud lifter.
Yeah, it depends on more your audio interface. You guys sound like you have an interface that provides enough power for the mic. So I think you're doing okay.
Right. Right, I think we have phantom power on, but I forget.
I don't think we do. Do we have? Okay, so I think let's wrap this up.
Quieter. Well.
Viper, do you have anything, any last thoughts that you would like to share? Where can people find you? Twitter, Instagram, like, give me LinkedIn. A plug.
I mean, you know how it is, Christina. People want to find your boy, the man about tech. Just type in Viper in the Twitter, the YouTube. Actually, if you're on the YouTube, type in the man about tech. You'll find your boy Viper, or just type in Twitter in the Twitter sphere, and you'll find me. I'm everywhere, man. I'm not hard to find. But as far as the last message, don't waste time. If there's something that you've always wanted to do and you want to do it, just do it. Life is short. If we have learned nothing in 2020, I think 2020 has been around long enough to teach us that life is short. Get off your behind and do what you want to do now. Don't wait. There's no excuse. There's no perfect time to start. Just start now.
I love that. That's amazing. Boom, bam, pal. Guys, thank you so much for listening to Creating Things Together. If you like this episode, please make sure that you, number one, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple Podcasts, the Google Play Store.
Indeed.
Literally all the places this podcast exists where you're listening to it now. Just make sure you subscribe. We put these episodes out every single Tuesday. Also, want to mention, if you enjoyed this enough, what should they do, James?
Oh boy, they should send us money. Is that what we're?
No.
Okay. They should. I mean, you can. I really like green tea, so if I could fund that, that'd be great. But also, if you could rate and review, and just in your review talk about why this podcast is special to you, that would be fantastic. It really helps us out. We really appreciate it. Links and show notes for Viper, of course.
Okay, guys, thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Viper.
Thank you.